Radio Reverb Brighton Festival 2017 now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017 with Melissa Dennett on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melissa Dennett. This is Radio Reverb's Brighton Festival special.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and this is our penultimate show. Oh. Penultimate 2017 oh. Brighton Festival special show, 5 till 6pm, repeated at 10pm and 8am. It's all right, cheer up. We have got a whole hour ahead of us and tomorrow as well, Melissa. We'll be looking behind the scenes at the festival, meeting the performers, creators and the people who make it happen.
And in today's programme, we'll be hearing about how a cemetery is a setting of a circus performance.
We'll be meeting a guilty feminist.
Taking a boat onto the marina to hear tales from the seaside.
And we'll be gearing up for the arrival of the storytelling army.
Yes, that's all here in the next hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Very kindly supported by the Brighton Festival. You can hear us 8 till 9 in the morning and 10 o'clock in the evening and 5 till 6 live. I think that's right, isn't it? I should know that after 3 weeks. Anyway, starting the programme.
And I just said it as well.
You but, did just you say know, it.
Say it again now so
say
you
it
can
again.
Remember.
Just to remind people. No, clear off. Let's start off with some Brighton music. This is the Island Club and Paper Kiss. Yeah, Brighton's Island Club starting off the programme. They listen to the Brighton Festival special on Radio Reverb with Melissa Dennett. And I know when the programme goes out, I should after 3 weeks. It's going out live 5 till 6 Monday to Friday and then repeated 10 o'clock that evening and 8am the next day. Unless you listen to Friday's programme, which is repeated 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And also you'll find us on DAB in Sussex and Surrey via Upload Radio. So a big wave to all the people who are listening to us there.
She's Melita, I'm Rebecca. Let's hear about a festival event now. Australian circus troupe Circa wowed audiences at their 2013 performance of Howl Like an Angel, combined breathtaking acrobatics and physical theatre with choral music. They're back now, this time with a show called Depart at Woodvale Cemetery, and it's inspired by the legend of Orpheus and Eurydice.
There's several unusual and interesting elements in this piece. Firstly, it's in a really interesting venue. It's in one of our bigger cemeteries. It's also a promenade piece of theatre, so people are walking around. Things are happening all around them. It's quite interactive. At one point in time, the choir will be singing and walking alongside some of the audience, and will be popping up in different places. So it's a different way to experience the music through setting and the way that we are staging it for them.
The project is about the idea of departing, of leaving life, of leaving the things that we love, but also therefore of heading towards them, of trying to regain or recapture them, the ephemerality, the traces we leave behind. It features massed choirs, acrobats, aerialists, dancers, video work. So in a sense we're inhabiting the cemetery, we're kind of reverse haunting it, filling it with the kind of traces of our energy, and hopefully leading the audience both kind of into the underworld and back out again.
For me, what singing as a community together is about is being part of something that becomes greater than the sum of the parts. So when you're singing together, you experience the piece of art that you're creating and that you're sharing as something that is without you as one individual person. I think that's incredibly powerful.
That's some of the people involved with Circa's Depart, which is running from today until Sunday, performances 8:30 and 10:15pm. I think they're all fully booked.
Not surprised.
Yeah, and you can always try at the box office for any last-minute returns. But as of a couple of hours ago, I checked with the box office, there hadn't been any returns.
No, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing this because we are lucky enough to have a ticket to go tonight. And I have to say that I was absolutely knocked out when I saw How Like an Angel in 2013. And there was a moment, I think, that stayed with everyone who saw that show. It was in a big old Victorian church in Hove, and one of the performers was standing, it must have been 50 or 60 feet up, on a window ledge of a stained glass window, and jumped or soared down, thankfully, onto a nice squishy mattress. Yeah. But everybody was like holding their breath and just went, oh, when it happened.
It was amazing. And I think the way they used that space, because, yeah, it's fabulous acrobatics. I mean, what they can do with their bodies is amazing. But also what intrigued me there and how it's going to transfer to a cemetery was how they use a space and how they make that piece work. And so Depart exploring our relationship with death and our mortality, I think it's going to be utterly fascinating. And hurrah for the weather as well.
Yes, quite. And what I also like about them is the way they use choral music. So certainly in How Like an Angel, and obviously from what we've heard there, for Depart, they're going to be, the singers are going to be moving around the space as well, which I think in a cemetery is going to be pretty atmospheric.
So all of that is really obviously quite annoying to any of you who are thinking, I want to go and I've missed out. But what we would say is we have been saying frequently for the last 3 weeks, get tickets, don't leave it too late. And we're going to have a little bit more news on where there's some availability for some tickets and what's still coming up, because there are lots of things that are fully booked, this being one of them. But there are still some great shows out there this weekend. So I think we'll have a look at that later, shall we?
Yeah, well, this seems like an appropriate point, actually, talking about death and departure, to play D-Mob Happy, the band from Brighton. This is a new track from them, Dead Dreamers. For Brighton, that's D-Mob Happy and Dead Dreamers. You're listening to the Radio Reverb Festival special, going behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandler. So we're going to keep you up to date with the very last few ticket availabilities. Obviously, the festival is gliding gracefully towards its end, as are we, because today is our penultimate show, as you very rightly point out. You just wanted to say penultimate, I'm sure. You did, didn't you? You just wanted to get the word penultimate in.
Yes, okay, fair enough, yeah. I was going to leave it a bit later to talk about ticket availability, but actually I've just sort of checked and there is only... You were telling me for a long time to get tickets for Collision, which is the virtual reality.
Well done.
And I did. And I checked with the box office a couple of hours ago, and a couple of hours ago there was one ticket left for tonight, Thursday, that is, if you're listening to the live show. One ticket for Thursday at 8:30 and one ticket for Friday at 8:30 p.m. That is it.
Get in, quick.
So if you were thinking about it, they may have gone. I haven't just double-checked now, but there may be one ticket for tonight, Thursday, and one ticket for Friday, 8:30 p.m. So that's the Collisions. Also, the sort of last chance saloon on tickets, the Hiccup Project, tonight at the Spire. That's a dance comedy on the subject of romance. And May We Go Round, that's 8 p.m. And there are, excuse me, popping there. I didn't even say penultimate, and I put the microphone. There are a few tickets left for that at the Spire tonight. That's at 8 o'clock, May We Go Round. What else? Oh, and there are tickets available for FK Alexander. We discussed this one yesterday.
Yes, this is the Judy Garland piece, where you have Somewhere Over the Rainbow sung at you personally over a four-hour period. Not for entire 4 hours, but you can come and go as you like. Sounds like a fantastic performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one, talking of fantastic performances, I think Comedy of Errors at the Brighton Open Air Theatre is probably going to be amazing. They had one ticket left for tonight, so I'm imagining that's sold out. But there are still tickets available for the Friday and Saturday performances, 1 p.m. and 6 p.m.
And that is going to be scorchio, so take a picket. You don't have a picnic. You probably won't need an umbrella on this occasion.
For some shade, parasol umbrella.
Yes, absolutely. I'm afraid this one is actually sold out, returns only. And Australian hip-hop performer MC Remy is joining Kate Tempest at the Dome on Friday evening. This is going to be Kate Tempest's final appearance at the Brighton Festival. And Remy's album Divas and Demons came out last year. This track is called Substance Therapy. And I'll blow your money. As MC Remy. And the track is called Substance Therapy, taken from his album Divas and Demons. And he's going to be joining Kate Tempest at the Dome Friday evening, which I'm afraid is actually sold out. Returns only. It is always worth checking for returns. And it's worth telling you where the website is again, just in case you don't know it by now, which is brightonfestival.org. And for some shows, there are going to be £10 standby tickets. So it's definitely worth checking out. You listen to Radio Reverb, the Brighton Festival special with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals.
So let's talk about something that is available for everyone. It's free. free. It's not sold out because it's going to be happening and popping up all over the place over the weekend. So Brighton Festival has worked with Nabokov Theatre and with Kate Tempest to assemble and mobilise the Storytelling Army. It's a collective of local people from all walks of life, including those who are homeless, in recovery from addiction or vulnerably housed.
Inspired by Kate Tempest's theme of the everyday epic, this weekend they're going to be doing pop-up performances across Brighton. So you may well find them at your local supermarket, on the street corner, or even on the top deck of a bus.
I've got my soapbox. We'll travel.
The Storytelling Army is a collection of people from all walks of life who will pop up all over Brighton telling a story that celebrates the everyday epic. So the everyday epic looks at us as human beings, like what we do on a daily basis, and really celebrating those things that we do, those achievements, those small little achievements that we have, whether that is today I am sober, or I have managed to take my kids to school and I suffer from depression, or whether it's my first day of paid work. Whatever that everyday epic is for you, it's a chance to kind of celebrate that and tell that story. So for us, this concept was really about finding ways of making the arts more social. So going into non-theatre spaces and identifying communities you want to take work into, but also removing the financial barrier. So these stories will be free. Like, you don't have to have any money to see these stories. In Brighton, there's a lot of issues in terms of drug use and addiction. There's lots of homelessness and vulnerably housed people. And so we started to identify different organisations and charities that we'd want to work with in partnership and support to create that army of storytellers.
It's just a genius idea. It's all voluntary and it helps people in recovery or wanting to get into recovery through creative-based groups and creative writing and drama, music, all sorts. And it's fantastic. It's literally saved my life along with others.
Everyone in recovery has a story, you know. We're not mundane people, generally speaking. It'd be really exciting and interesting to see how people's stories develop from possibly being a very internalised situation to developing it as a story, as something that can be performed.
I'm feeling extremely excited about going and standing up in front of people and telling my story. I think it's a great idea. I'm really excited for it.
Why are we still here?
That's the Storytelling Army, going to be popping up this weekend all over Brighton. So on the street corner outside the local supermarket, who knows where they're going to be. But you'll find all sorts of people ready to tell you stories. And I think it's one of the most inspiring things I've seen in the Brighton Festival in a long time, I think. And Kate Tempest has really, really put her stamp on this. And I just think the idea of bringing in people who've never actually be a part of the Brighton Festival, but it's been an absolute winner.
Well, and also for them, and we heard from them, we've heard from them a couple of times over the course of the last 3 weeks. And I think that sense that they have found it really empowering to have facilitation being offered to them to share their story. That's not the right word, is it? They've been facilitated.
Yes, that's right, yes. Anyway, that's the Storytelling Army. There is supposed to be a stage happening somewhere on Sunday, but it's so secret, no one has actually told us yet. So maybe just look out for that one. Have a look on the Brighton Festival website and you may well find what's happening there.
Now, before some more music, let's just touch on a couple of other things that are happening over the weekend where there is availability. A handful of people, that's the French theatre company Vélo Théâtre, and they are bringing a beautiful miniature set model with inbuilt surprises to the Brighthelm Centre. It's a family show, and there is tickets available. There's not a lot of tickets for 11 a.m, I think, but
it's a Saturday one. Saturday, yeah, 11 a.m.
Yeah. So there are tickets at quite a few of the other shows available for that one. A handful of people, it's called, at the Brighthelm Centre this weekend, one for the family. There's good availability of tickets at 100 Homes at the Bevy Pub. And as we mentioned yesterday, I'm hoping to be talking to Yinka Kuytenbroer, who's the Belgian theatre maker who's performing this piece, which is all about home and what it means to people. And she's got snapshots and tales from her encounters with around 100 people on what home means to them.
Sounds good.
And that's at the Bevy Community Pub. Lots of availability of tickets there over the weekend. That sounds like a cracking show. And what else? Oh, there is limited availability for something. It's a group that neither of us have heard of. It's Dinosaur, British jazz supergroup, at St Nicholas's Church, 1 p.m. on Saturday. And clearly other people have heard of them because there aren't many tickets left. So if that's your bag, 1 o'clock on Saturday at St Nicholas's Church. All of those tickets available at brightonfestival.org.
And promising jazz and Celtic folk there, Dan. So I love going to see things in churches. I think that's something that's really special that's happened over the past few years, that churches obviously seen dwindling audiences of their own have opened their doors up to musical events. And I think it's absolutely stunning seeing something like that in a church.
I know, absolutely. And I think that's, well, we could talk about the different sites that the festival has been to. And I know that was something we touched on early on, and we haven't sort of revisited that sense of how it's gone out to different venues, opening up the festival to people in areas and on sites, be it out on the ocean waves or in the churches or in the community pub. You know, it's out there all around Brighton and on the streets on a stage we don't know where.
Exciting, exciting. We're going to be meeting a guilty feminist soon. Before that, this is Brighton's You and Who's Army. Brighton's You and Who's Army and Indigo Skyfall. You listen to the Radio Reverb Brighton Festival special with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. And The Guilty Feminist is a hit podcast created by comedian Deborah Frances White. She uses it to delve into the trials of being a 21st century feminist and its contradictions and insecurities. Taking place on Sunday night at the Theatre Royal, is actually fully booked, so it's going to be returns only, but keep an eye on that festival website. But here's a taster. It's an excerpt from one of her podcasts.
I am a feminist, but when I need to feel confident, I play the theme tune from RuPaul's Drag Race in my head and pretend I am a queen. That's right. When I need confidence, I pretend I'm a man dressed up as a woman.
I don't think you're alone there. I'm a feminist, but I was reading about the suffragettes going on hunger strikes in jail so I could have the vote. And I thought, it is kind of ironic that the first big act of feminism was basically a diet.
I am a feminist, but my current definition of feminism is a lot of women and some men telling each other we're wrong.
You're not wrong.
Someone will be right one day, but she's not been born yet. So until then, let's just keep shouting.
I'm a feminist, but when I was reading about the suffragettes going on hunger strikes in jail, I thought, I pretty much know that I would have lasted 18 hours before I'd thought, feminism needs me to keep my strength up, and had a sandwich in the name of my principles. I just would have. I just could not have done the hunger strike bit. I just couldn't have done it. But I would have justified it. I wouldn't have just gone, well, I'm weak. I would have gone, no, there's a reason why I should have the sandwich.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I respect that. If you're going to protest, have some food. I mean, yes, everyone should have food. I think it sounds sensible. And what kind of sandwich would it have been?
Well, a tuna, but not a vegan tuna.
Watch the carnivore stutter.
I'm more pesky than anything now.
Oh, yeah, you're pesky.
If it wasn't for those pescatarians, I would have got away with it.
I am a...
It's the only pun in the show, so suck it up.
And also with editing, I've got a feeling it won't be in the show. So,
nor will that.
And that's Brighton's entry in the 2017 Eurovision Song Contest there.
Oh, no, it's not.
I love Eurovision. That did just have airs of Eurovision about it.
Well, it did, didn't it? I only just came across this track and I thought I'd give it a spin. It's a chap called Puzzle. I think he's originally a Brazilian chap, now resident in Brighton, and the track's called Realign. But definitely, we were listening to that and going like, yeah, it's definitely Eurovision, isn't it?
Sounded that way to me, and it was interesting because of certain points where the sort of bangs and the noises made me see the stage lighting up, and I thought,
well, the dry ice. There
yeah,
we go.
Brighton's entry.
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Five Short Blast sees audiences taken out by boat from Brighton Marina to get an up-close and real sense of life on the waves. Originally conceived by Madeline Flynn and Tim Humphrey to focus on marine life based around Shoreham Harbour, it moved to Brighton Marina due to tidal complications. Earlier this week, I was up Brighton early to take to the high seas.
Attention, please. All passengers.
Now's a good time to turn the phone onto aeroplane mode.
Okay. Shoreham will shortly be departing. Yeah.
Bindi Green. I'm from Five Short Blasts. I'm based in Melbourne, Australia, and I work with Tim Humphreys and Madeline Flynn, who are the creators of this artwork.
So tell me about what the experience is. What have you set out to do here?
So Five Short Blasts is an experience of a city and from the perspective of the water. So we've created a version of Shoreham, the town, which is a bit further down the coast from Brighton Marina. So it's an experience for audience to come and get an understanding of the waterways, which is part of their environment that they live in and walk past and see every day, and to get a bit of an understanding of the people who live and work in that waterway.
You wake up the next morning and you feel like you've just done battle with Mike Tyson sometimes.
Had, I think, since I've been in the crew in the last year, we had one long one that was like 9 hours. So it's interesting to see how your body reacts to that, really. Like, 1 minute you're sitting at your desk, the next minute you're at sea for 9 hours.
I got lucky because coming down here today, the experience we're out and it's nice weather, it's calm, it's pleasant. So viewing it from the sea was a bit like being sort of on a tourist trip to start with.
Oh, it's incredibly changeable. It's as changeable as the weather itself. We have days where we've been up to force 5 and almost to 6 in when the gale is really strong and the boat is rising up and down out of the water 3 or 4 metres because once you go out of the breakwater, out through the breakwater, out into the channel, it gets incredibly rough. They start using words like really lumpy seas. It's a really bouncy sea today, or it's quite choppy today. But it can be incredibly disconcerting. And people have been feeling a little kind of nauseous and a little a little changed by the experience.
Heave to, come round. Maintain visual contact.
The listening experience is very much created as much by the natural environment and what's happening in the area around you, as well as the composed score that sits in the work. So one day you might be like, we had a rescue happen yesterday. We had the boat that was going out was called to rescue a sailboat that needed to be brought back into harbour. And there were 2 distress calls going on at the same time. So the lifeboats went to the one which was further out, but our vessel, the Sea Breeze, that we were running our show on, was the closest one to the yacht in distress. So it's maritime law that if you are the closest vessel, it's your obligation to go and rescue. No one was in danger, no one was hurt. It wasn't a life-threatening situation. Just about 5 minutes or so while we paused to take a moment to determine exactly what's the situation we're in here. And that became, for that day, it's part of the work. That intersection of recreation, of activity, of industry, and of this whole universe of marine life.
He stirred the guts in the sea. Gulls whirled greedily above our pink foam plate. His bloody fish gut fingers.
The elephant in the room is obviously the change of venue. Mm. How has that been for you, and what kind of response have you had from people from that change? Because we should have been at Shoreham. We're by the restaurants at Brighton Marina.
Exactly. It is a significant change. It came very late in the day as well. It was an unavoidable change. It was about safety of getting passengers on and off boats, and it was about the ability of skippers to be able to land at the jetties down there. And it became apparent that we wouldn't be able to run the entire season. And so the move to Brighton Marina, while artistically wouldn't have been the original choice, practically and responsibly it's the right choice. What we do like, though, is that we are bringing Shoreham down to Brighton Marina, and that's a really lovely thing. We're still hearing all those voices. We're still hearing all those stories. And the people from Shoreham who know that environment and know those people and know the kind of reference points that are touched on by some of the text that's been created for the work by Tim and Julia Crouch, people really respond to that, and it's fantastic. And so it's great that it's, even though we've had a change of location, the work is still well and truly rooted in Shoreham, and it's very much, Shoreham is at the heart of the work.
And Five Short Blasts is running through till Sunday. Shoreham and Brighton Beach are available to enjoy all year round.
If you like pebbles.
If you, I love pebbles. Painting them, that reminds me.
You've been painting the pebbles, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh, that seems a lifetime ago.
It's only like a week or so ago.
I know, I have to go down. Have you, those pebbles still colourful? Have you been past?
I haven't been to have a look at it yet. No, you better go and have a look and report back to us, haven't you? But I think, actually, if you've not been down to Shoreham Harbour, which you haven't, have you, Rebecca?
No, I have not been down to Shoreham Harbour. I went to see Hamlet in a container close by.
Yes, I saw that. I hated that.
I really liked it.
That was in the Brighton Festival, ooh, must have been about 4 years ago. And I'd seen, I can't remember the company now, but I'd seen their other stuff and I really liked it. And I really didn't like that. It didn't work for
didn't
me at all.
Didn't they do the old co-op building? Wasn't that one of their, that
Yes,
company?
It was. And I'm wrecking my brain to think who they are. Somebody was shouting at the radio right now telling me who they were. But anyway, now go down to Shoreham Harbour and you ride a bicycle. Go down there. It's lovely industrial porn down
Listen,
there.
Listen, don't talk about bicycles because actually this festival has been great, but bicycles have been bad for both of us because you had your accident at the start of festival.
Yes.
And this week someone pinched my bicycle helmet.
Oh.
So don't mention bicycles to either myself or Melita because it gives us flashbacks to bad experiences.
Fine, yes. And let's have another Brighton track. We're going to be talking about the Gabriels, which is at the Attenborough Centre, runs through to this weekend. This is more Brighton music. This is Kudu Blue and Drink Alone. Oh, one of my favourite Brighton bands. They played a blinding set at the Great Escape last weekend. That is Kudu Blue, new track from them, Drink Alone. If you get a chance to see Kudu Blue live, then do go and see them. And you can also stop shouting at your radio because through the power of Google, we discovered who had actually done that Hamlet in the containers down at Shoreham and that amazing version of the Cherry Orchard in the old Co-op building on London Road in Brighton before it closed down. It was Dream Think Speak. Oh, yes.
There you go.
We got it.
Now, I may not have been to Shoreham Harbour, but this afternoon you told me to go and see this, and I've been to see it. Kathy Pilkington's The Life Rooms, which is the exhibition of sculptures making use of dolls in, as it says in the programme, unexpected and challenging ways.
I think that is a fair assessment. And what was your assessment of it, Rebecca Sandals?
I loved it. I loved
Good.
It so much. I took one of those selfie photos, me and one of the unexpected, thought-provoking sculptures doll.
Creepy.
And I'm going to update my Facebook status.
Nice. I think it's absolutely astonishing exhibition. And it runs through till... It's a University of Brighton gallery. Runs through to Sunday. It's free, of course, but definitely... See, what we're telling you is your last chance to go and see some of these things. And this is definitely... If you miss this, you will regret it.
Yeah, and it's a short walk from any... From, you know, if you're in the centre of town, it's a short walk from the Dome. It's right nearby. And frankly, you can walk in, you can wander around in 10 minutes if that's you want, or you can hover and, rather like me, take photos and update your Facebook status to in a relationship with one of the spooky dolls.
I interviewed Kathy Pilkington for this a couple of weeks ago, actually, and I kept meaning to go back and have a look at it. So you've reminded me, actually, that I must go back. If you want to catch up with any of our interviews as well, they're on the Bite Size Brighton Festival podcasts. If you go to Audio Boom and you look for Radio Reverb Brighton Festival, you will find all these interviews on there.
Because I would say before, when I heard your interview, and this is not a criticism, it's a critique.
It better not be.
Of your interview, I thought it was darker, and she was quite defensive. It wasn't as dark as you were making out, and it isn't. I mean, it is. Well, you know, there is darkness there, but it actually made me smile and laugh, and it's really thought provoking, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's definitely thought provoking, witty. I think it's dark though.
Yeah, well, you know, there's Red Riding Hood and a wolf, and there's definite signs of blood and other stuff in places. So yeah, I mean, it's not the jolliest place to take your 3-year-old, that's for sure.
No, you're right about that one. And if you also want to find out our Brighton Festival programmes, the whole programmes, you'll find them on Mixcloud. So Audio Boom and Mixcloud are the place to go. Coming towards the end of the show now, and the Gabriels is a piece which follows up on the Apple Plays in 2015's Brighton Festival. And that's where the audience eavesdrops on an American family as they discuss the political issues of the day. This time around, it's been updated in the run-up to the election of Donald Trump, and Kevvy Chadwick went to see it.
So there's three plays, and each of them's an hour and 45 minutes, and each play revolves around the preparation and of a meal by this family. So you the play starts with one of the brothers, two brothers and a sister, and their mother, and they're sort of the core of the family, and then they have the brother's wife, and also the older brother's widow. So the older brother's just died, and it's there, they've just discussed his ashes, and it starts with that. So it's, but it's sort of set against the premise of the year in the American election. So it's, the first play is about the selection of Hillary, the second one is about the TV debates, and the third one is the night of the election. And when these were performed in America, they were performed on the night of the election. They didn't know what was going to, who'd won when they first performed. So they came out of the theatre, and then they obviously found out later that night who had won. So, but there's a wonderful line, which is in the third play, which is, I think something very bad is about to happen, which obviously is prophetic.
Has it actually been rewritten since the election of Trump? Or it,
I don't think
is.
So. It's as is, because it's really, I mean, it's a political play, but it's not. It's where the personal and the political really meet, and it's about the family, and it's about them preparing a meal and talking about their own economic circumstances and their own relationships and the grief and loss of their brother, and then within that is kind of sort of the chat about Hillary. And what she was like as a politician.
So if you're not massively enthusiastic about American politics, there's actually, as a way of looking in on family life in America, it does that.
It's absolutely brilliant for that. I mean, I think what it shows you, what it's really about is about how the death of the American dream and the idea that, you know, the land of milk and honey was possible, and about how that's no longer possible. And that is told through the prism of this family. So It's not all about senators and voting and Congress and really complicated things that we don't have here. So it's very relatable.
It doesn't sound too jolly from that description.
Do you know what? It's quietly heartbreaking, but beautifully full of love and hope, I think, at the end, about family and connection and how we connect to each other.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But it is...
Yeah, we know who got elected, though, don't we?
Yes, but it is... I mean, it is quietly heartbreaking, yes, but in the most beautiful way. And it's fascinating. I mean, I could have watched another one really happily. And I, you know, I go to theatre a lot and I am bored a lot. I thought this was completely riveting every second. There wasn't a second you tuned out or weren't engaged. So it's an extraordinary feat of writing, actually, in performance.
Because I saw one of the Apple plays, and it's such an interesting concept devised by the writer, yeah, Richard Nelson. Because as you say, it personalises politics. And obviously, yeah, politics is affecting our everyday life. And I just think, you know, that's an incredibly simple but effective, yeah, idea of discussing these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's quite a feminist play, because it's actually about there's only one male character in it and the rest are all women, and it's about the impact of politics on their lives, which I think is an incredibly interesting way to look at politics.
Now, you saw all three.
I did.
They are on separate evenings. Yeah. I know someone who's going to see just one of them, and if, you know, I'm sitting there going, I can't go to all three.
Yeah.
How do they work as solo pieces?
I mean, I think they would work as solo pieces, definitely, because they're structured around the idea of the preparation of a meal, and they all have a kind of big revelation in them, and they all have a moment of resolution. So they do work as standalones, but I think if you saw one, you would just be itching to see the others. It's like watching a bit of a box set and then going, I won't watch any more of that. So,
I mean, as a feat of acting, though, that's really quite impressive, isn't it? To learn three separate shows.
The actors are absolutely extraordinary. It was one of the best pieces of theatre I've ever seen, I would say, quite.
Wow.
And I've been going to theatre, you know, several times a week for years, and it really was sort of
you're practically kind of wanting
to
tell everyone,
I really want everyone
fantastic.
should go and see, because I think what happens with political theatre, particularly in this country, is it becomes very didactic, it becomes very male, it becomes very ranty, and people, the only people who go are people who already agree with the premise of it. And I think that this is a play that could change your view and change your mind to maybe a more liberal take on the world. So I think that's what we need more now. So yeah, I think it's a very powerful piece of work.
And thank you very much to our reviewer there, Keffi Chadwick. A 5-star review, I do believe, for the Gabriels. It's at the Attenborough Centre, which is up at the University of Sussex. If you've not actually been to a show at the Attenborough Centre yet, it is absolutely fantastic. And when dear Rebecca, who has been doing her homework and checking on availability, looked earlier, there was availability for 8 o'clock tonight, Thursday. Do check on the Brighton Festival website. There were some going for Saturday, but of course they do disappear fast. So brightonfestival.org is the place to go.
Talking of homework, I've got some homework for you, Melita.
Yes, miss.
Now, ahead of our last program.
She's so bossy.
Ahead of our last program tomorrow, last festival special, bit of homework. It's very simple. And actually, anyone can join in if you want to tweet on this or let us know your answers to these questions. The questions are as follows. 4 quick questions. Your best experience of Brighton Festival this year. Your biggest disappointment of the festival this year. What surprised you the most this year? And finally, the one that got away. What didn't you see or go to or experience and wish you had?
Okay, right. Well, if you want to tweet to us at Radio Reverb, then that is the place to go for that. And we're going to have to wrap up now, my dear.
Okay, well, you've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and myself, Rebecca Sandals, here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, DAB, and online. And this show repeats at 10 PM and 8 AM, and we'll be back tomorrow.
We're very kindly supported by the Brighton Festival. Thank you to all today's guests. Going to play you out with Brighton's Teeth, and the track is Drink All Day. That's what I'll be doing after the festival ends.